First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is on assignment. We have a wonderful lineup of guests for our second hour, and this next guest is no exception to that. What a topic we're going to be talking about. Here to talk about it, and I'll tease it a little bit in a minute, Pastor Stephen E. Broden founded the Fair Park Bible Fellowship Church in 1987, serves as a senior pastor there. He has served as president of the Fair Park Friendship Center for over 18 years as its executive director. His latest book is Pawns of Change, The Exploitation of Black Americans by Progressive Liberals. Massive subject, that as well. Pastor Stephen Broden, thank you so much for joining us on the Alan Nathan
Show. It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be with you today.
Yeah, well, thank you. There's an article that you're here to talk about, which just, it doesn't surprise me, and yet it does. Headline, Christian pastors, and I see a Jewish group there as well, caught taking bribes from the government to push COVID shots. And some of these people are now dead from those COVID shots. It's a huge issue. What say you? And then we'll talk about it in more detail.
I think it's an extraordinary revelation. And I think the operative word in that headline is caught. In other words, it was not supposed to be a public reality or public revelation at all. It was something that was secretive, where the U.S. Department of Human Services got together with these organizations and pastors and convinced them that advancing in their congregations the shot, for them to take this shot, was not to be heard or seen by anybody but them. And so I think that is an incredible revelation, but it also speaks to the spiritual condition of our nation.
Yes.
When these religious institutions are willing to take money in order to position their congregations into a idea or a philosophy or a trial vaccine, is something that is breathtaking. It's absolutely breathtaking.
I could never say it better than you just did, Pastor. And I would be willing to bet, this is a speculation, that some of those pastors, some of those religious leaders probably gave sermons that said something like, if you're doing it in secret, you're probably doing something you ought to be ashamed of. And here they're doing that in secret. Do you know how this actually was made public? Because obviously it took 3-4 years. But how did it get out there? Do you know?
I think Bradley Geer, who is the author of the article that you and I are referring to, is the one who did the research on that. And I think somehow through the right to freedom of information, he was able to obtain this data, and through that was able to reveal that there were a number of organizations like the American Baptist Organization, the Episcopalian the Evangelical, and the Jewish, I think it's called
something called the New York Jewish Agenda. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
It's not
either,
a synagogue, you know, but it's politically motivated, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And through their prompting, they were able to perhaps convince rabbis and other leaders within that community to embrace this idea of taking this unproven shot, shot that had no testing, that had no idea of how it would impact human beings, but we took it anyway because we were operating in fear. And I think the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in the article said they approached those pastors and religious institutions and convinced them that Jesus would want them to be good neighbors and be loving and protect their people. So what we have is a narrative that was constructed by a secular organization, the U.S. Health and Human Services. It's not a religious institution, it's a part of the government, who is constructing and developing a religious narrative that convinced these pastors, plus the pay that they receive, to go ahead and bring this shot to their people. And I think that is sinister, it's dark, it's evil. Any way you look at it, when we're talking about a vaccine that had no testing connected to it at all.
And four or five years later, we see censorship of people who have been injured by this shot. The drug companies were protected from lawsuits, but pastors are not. So what do you think is going to happen now?
Well, who knows? But I do know this, that this vaccine that has been proven empirically and scientifically to be the cause of many deaths,
yes,
of those who took it. It had elements in it like nanotechnology that was designed to create stuff inside our system. And what happened is that we see in some documentaries that I've had a chance to watch that there is clogging of the veins, clogging of the heart. And could it be that these nanorobots inside were constructing these fibers to go out and clog the vein? We don't know. But the point is, the pastors didn't know either. And why would they agree to that when they didn't have any proof that this thing was going to work?
Well, and look how long it took for the evidence to trickle out, because those who were guilty of pushing it and using tax dollars to push it on the public didn't want it out. They wanted the danger to continue, it seems. I can only think about black churches usually people have short memories, but they probably don't have short memories about the Tuskegee experiments and other ways in which they were lied to and experimented upon by guinea pigs. And this is by the so-called party that screams and yells about that very thing and then does it. Or am I wrong?
I think you're right about the experience of the Tuskegee experimentation that took place in the history of our community. And that caused a great deal of hesitancy on the black community. And so
rightfully so.
a special effort by Fauci and the United States government came into our community and targeted the community to take the shot. Now, no doubt some did, but many did not, because they were hesitant and they were afraid that something wrong was here, and many didn't. So Fauci came into the community. They solicited from black entertainers that came into the community and other so-called leaders came into the community to encourage us to do that. And they convinced some to do it, but many did not.
Do you think there'll be accountability for the people who were pushing shots that could harm others? Because, as I said, the Congress seemed to be proactive in protecting the drug companies from lawsuits, but corporations, businesses, pastors, and even celebrities are not so protected. Do you think anything will actually come of that?
Well, it might. If some creative lawyer would take a case and go after them, but it's an uphill climb because of all the protections that are in place and the censorship that was exacted upon the public.
Yes.
Upon those who had the information and knew the truth, they were censored. Yeah. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that there is some possibility that this could have legs, but I don't trust the court system any longer.
Yeah. And you and a lot of others, Pastor Stephen Brodin, thanks for your courage and your strength in speaking out for truth and principles and everything else. We do appreciate it. You can find his book, Pawns of Change, The Exploitation of Black Americans by Progressive Liberals. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back on the Main Street Radio Network right after this.
According to iStock's visual GPS research, over 75% of people globally are already using some form of AI technology in their day-to-day work. Grant Farhall, Chief Product Officer at iStock, says when using AI, it's all about creating meaningful connections with your audience.
Our own research shows that over 40% of small and mid-sized businesses are using AI-generated content for marketing purposes. Generative AI tools can help businesses create those important connections that drive long-term value if done correctly.
iStock by Getty Images has released a new tool, Generative AI by iStock, which allows businesses to safely turn their creative vision into powerful content.
Generative AI by iStock empowers you to create compelling visuals to engage your audience. You can explore using AI with confidence by creating images and then downloading them with a commercial license and iStock's standard legal indemnification.
For more, visit ai.istockphoto.com/ITT.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked Granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And so among the many pieces of news that we heard just very recently is that there is a popular performer named Olivia Rodrigo, forgive me if I don't know, but you may, who originally appeared on Disney, who recently decided to support her pro-abortion stance by handing out condoms and lubrication to those attending her concert. She also handed out the Plan B pill that is an emergency abortion pill. And here to talk about it, which you may understand, has some feelings and thoughts about that, but you don't have to be a reverend to talk about it, is Reverend James Harden, CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. Thank you, Reverend, for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back, Karen.
Yeah, so I don't, kind of what I said, you don't have to be a reverend or a pastor to wonder why a performer is handing out abortion pills at her concert. What say you? And are people organizing to say, you know what, that's dangerous and inappropriate?
Yeah, I think this is basically an act of social reengineering. They're trying to normalize and through a pop star this kind of sexual activity, this heightened level of sexual activity among minors. And, you know, thankfully, you know, Olivia's kind of, I don't know who, her lawyers or somebody told her that this is a bad idea. We should stop this quickly because, yeah. You know, you're handing out drugs, literally. Plan B is a very strong drug to minor girls. This is outside of parental consent. It's outside of the bounds of medical care, obviously. This is not about women's health. This is actually damaging to girls, normalizing promiscuous behavior, which is very dangerous. And Plan B, of course, is a 50x dose of hormonal contraception. We have no idea the danger that this poses to a developing reproductive system in the presence of girls. So again, this has not been looked at. And if you look at the World Health Organization in terms of how they view, how they classify these types of hormonal contraception, they view it as a class one carcinogen up there with plutonium. That's how dangerous this is. And she's just passing out like candy at a rock concert. I mean, this is the level of insanity, this fever-pitched insanity that's going on right now, putting women and girls on the altar of a political agenda. And this is all about abortion for them. It's not about getting access to reproductive health care.
Mm. What is the average age of a girl who goes to an Olivia Rodrigo concert? I'm curious.
That's a very good question. It seems to me a fairly young group. I mean, I think Olivia herself is no more than in her mid-20s. So I don't know how many people are going to be attending her concerts in their 30s and 40s, but I'm guessing that her biggest following has followed her from the Disney Channel when they were children.
Exactly. What I was going to say was, it seems as if there's no end to the plan to corrupt and pervert the values, morals, and personal responsibility of up-and-coming generations. It isn't accidental. It seems totally on purpose. And part of what you said was that without parental consent, well, we see all over the country how the radical left is trying to take away the what people used to think was a great idea, that all kinds of things are being done and pushed without parental consent, right?
Yep, right. I mean, the primary relationship that the left wants people to have, individuals in our country to have, is their relationship with the government. There are other relationships that take precedent over one's relationship with the government that they're attempting to undermine or destroy. And that one of those, obviously, is one's relationship with God, which drives one's understanding of what it means to be human and therefore our decision-making about, say, for example, sexual behavior. The other relationship is one's relationship with their spouse. Now, the more you undermine – the way you undermine one's relationship with a potential spouse is by, you know, normalizing – you know, sexual activity, which undermines one's ability to have a strong connection with the opposite sex for a long period of time. So, you know, again, social reengineering at its best at work right now in this, with this pop star activity. And so, you know, if you want to basically destroy the nation state system as it stands, a free constitutional rule of law, you have to undermine the Judeo-Christian free market system that undergirds the entire nation state system globally. And the way you do that is by attacking these primary relationships.
Yeah. And you also attack personal responsibility and you elevate a cult of death, whether it is euthanasia, whether it is, well, increasing as many pregnancies as you can so you can then increase as many abortions as you can. And of course, we know that there are certain groups who has expressed purpose has been to undermine the nuclear family. They say it. They tell us about it. They're not even trying to hide it. So I think you are right to point out the political, the purely cynically political agenda here, which puts young girls as pawns in that whole process.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate. I think, and it's our job as parents, as well as citizens of this great country, to point out that we have a responsibility to our fellow man. And you know, putting women and girls on the altar of a political agenda like that, like this, is reprehensible. And not just damaging to these girls and women. It's damaging to society and to our to a civilized order that it can be sustained. And right now we're basically teetering on the edge of moral collapse. And I think abortion in contraception, these kinds of parental rights, you know, is just one of those things that we need to be aware of and push back against.
Yes, thank you for that. We have only about a minute. How can people find you? And are you doing anything? Well, you're CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. Give us a little bit about that and whether you can be looked up by others so they can support your work.
Oh, thank you, Karen. Yes, Compass Care provides women seriously considering abortion with ethical medical care and comprehensive community support in the abortion capital of America, New York and New York City. There are more abortions in Brooklyn, the county of Brooklyn, than any other county in America. And we're the only medical office in Brooklyn that provides an alternative to women facing unplanned pregnancy. So go to CompassCareCommunity.com to find out more. It's CompassCareCommunity.com.
Reverend James Harden, thank you for joining us about this issue. And we can only hope that there is some accountability for handing out abortion pills at rock concerts. How about that?
Yeah.
When we come back, thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, we're going to address, we're going to shift gears just a little. Don't go away for that. We'll tell you more when we get back on the Alan Nathan Show. Don't go.
So when we're setting up stuff for the new year, we've come in with a lot of energy. It's good to level set, take a step back, relax just a little bit, think about the small things that we can do, that we can fit into our life right now and do them very, very well. That's the key, sustainability. So I would start with using a tracking app. That way you know what you're bringing in and what you're bringing out. MyFitnessPal is a great option for that. It's gonna help build sustainable habits over time. And to help with that, the nutritionists over at MyFitnessPal, along with Kate Hudson, have developed the Small Steps, Big Wins plan. This is a 7-day challenge that gives you the little steps that you need to build that foundation so you can meet your goals. You can go straight to the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, download MyFitnessPal, and get started.
CES is always a proving ground for breakthrough technologies and global innovators, and I'm working with some great brands to share the latest and greatest. The S8 Max V Ultra from Roborock is redefining how we clean our homes. The deep cleaning capabilities and self-maintenance features make cleaning more convenient. Online protection experts McAfee have unveiled their new AI-powered deepfake audio detection technology. Known as Project Mockingbird, this technology will be a reliable resource for consumers amidst the rise of malicious AI-generated material online. Tonies are a great screen-free educational toy option for children. Pop any of the Tonies on top of the Tony box, and they'll play a variety of stories, songs, and lessons that can develop children's emotional intelligence with age-appropriate tech. The X-Real Air 2 Pro AR glasses are a great option for gaming, working at a desk, or incorporating augmented reality apps into your day-to-day life. And because they look like normal sunglasses, they'll fit right into your pocket and blend seamlessly into your day. For more, check out StephanieHumphrey.com.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably. Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations for Publix Supermarkets. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Publix to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we're building a brighter future. Sign up for Publix's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. It's been a while since I've spoken with our next guest, but he is a great writer. I always love the stuff that he writes. He's written for The New American for over 10 years, has been a contributor to outlets such as The Hill, The American Conservative, and American Thinker. His name is Selwyn Duke, and once you've heard him, you won't forget the name. Selwyn Duke. Hi, Selwyn. Thank you for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hey, Karen. It's good to be with you again.
Good to be with you, too. And so you have this great article that you just put out middle of March here. Senator Bill Hagerty says Biden's illegals will give Democrats 13 extra congressional seats, and he posits that that is one, not all, of the reasons that they have completely opened our borders. Tell us more.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to ask, why is our country being flooded with illegal aliens? Now, let's understand this has been going on for decades, but in recent times, Karen, this has been ratcheted up 100 notches, okay? Well, there is method to this madness, and here's part of it. It's not just that ultimately these are undocumented Democrats, as we put it, where the Democrats are thinking eventually they'll get amnesty, then they'll be able to vote for us legally. There's also this. Congressional seats are apportioned based on a state's population. Now, the more seats you have, the more power you have as a state in Congress. But here's what many people don't know. When they count people during the census, the next one is in 2030, they count all persons in a state, yes, not just citizens. So if you have more people in your state via illegal migration, what happens is you actually get more seats on the basis of these illegal invaders being there. So you could call this, you know, congressional seat creation without representation. That's what I called it in my article. I think that's very catchy, and it's disgusting. And you can stop me if I'm going on too long, but, you know, there's even more to it.
Go right ahead.
There's even more to it, okay? In recent years, Democrat states have been losing seats because they've been bleeding population because their terrible left-wing policies have been driving good tax-paying citizens away. In fact, after the last census, seven states lost seats. Five of them are Democrat-run, okay? So, of course, the Democrats want to turn that around. But here's the other aspect to it. The number of congressional seats is set limited at 435, Karen. What that means is that if these left-wing states gain seats via illegal migration, those seats are taken away from more traditional states that are not facilitating the illegal migration. So they're using this illegality to steal power, to steal seats from more conservative states. That's another aspect to this. Really something, huh?
That is something. And remember when Democrats accused Republicans of using illegal aliens, which they can't stand to have them called, the migrants, as weapons because, for example, Texas Governor Abbott sent one bus full to Hyannisport or something, Martha's Vineyard. That's exactly what they're doing. They're using people as weapons, aren't they? But it doesn't explain all of it. So I want to get to more of it because it isn't just that. There's a lot of other things too. That's what they're doing. They're using people as weapons for their own political agenda.
Well, yes, what they're doing is they're importing a foreign army for the purposes of helping themselves attain unassailable power. It's disgusting. I consider it treasonous. I think that's what it is. And understand, I've been writing about this for more than 20 years, and only now is the issue getting more attention. The truth is that illegal migration, Karen, has been a problem for a very, very long time. It was a problem back in the 80s. We had for the longest time 1,000 people a day coming across our border. But now, like I said, it's been ratcheted up 100 notches. And what do they want to do? I'm pretty sure what they plan to do is they want to get maybe 15 million more illegals in here over the course of a few years. Some say as many as 10 million have come through during Joe Biden's tenure alone. And in this way, they want to deliver a coup de grace to traditional America. Now, understand that illegal migration and legal immigration itself have been giving the Democrats more power. I've been talking about this for a long time. You know, a lot of conservatives will say, well, look, I'm all for immigration. I just want it done legally. And I've been saying you're missing the point. Ever since 1968, 85 to 90% of our immigrants have come from the third world. Upon being naturalized, 70 to 90% of them vote Democrat. So this process of stealing political power, gaining it through migration and immigration, has been going on for a long time. And illegal migration is not the problem. It's an exacerbation of the problem. But I mentioned before.
Sorry. I'm just dying to ask you this question because many people speculate that Republicans like illegal immigration because of keeping wages down. How does that explain the collusion with Republicans to help Democrats take over the country for globalist Marxist purposes? People like so many of these Republicans, they fight against securing our border. In fact, that's one of the things that animates them most. Think about the Koch brothers, one of them who's still alive. Their whole agenda is to keep borders open. And are they going to benefit from a communist, God forbid, America? What do you think?
Yeah, well, a lot of these people really aren't looking long-term, Karen. That's the thing. And you have to understand that the Republican Party is not monolithic. It comprises, as you know, many different factions. And we do have the MAGA faction, which I believe is absolutely sincere about stemming, stopping illegal migration. But we have other factions. You mentioned the Koch brothers. They're libertarians. Now, if you're a radical libertarian, I've heard this, you actually believe in, quote, the free flow of people. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, yes. That's absolutely insane. Their whole thinking is they'll say, oh, well, you know, it's not a problem as long as we don't have a welfare state. Well, here, wake up call. If you import enough of people like this who are socialist minded and you give them the vote, we're going to have a welfare state.
We do have a welfare state.
Exactly.
They're paying illegal aliens more money than they're paying anybody else. They're throwing money at them. We've heard stories about flying them to places around the country. And of course, there was a whole program for Cubans, not anti-communist Cubans. We talked about this yesterday. And one of them raped a mentally disabled woman. He was flown directly from Haiti to New York City, directly. Didn't even come through the border.
Yeah. Well, this is treasonous. That's what I said. It's disgusting. These pseudo-elites do not care. They couldn't care less about the average American. That's the bottom line. And by the way, to expand upon what I was saying before, you asked what motivates some of these Republicans who are wishy-washy on immigration. You also have to remember that a lot of them are pandering to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is a very, very large donor, very, very powerful. And, of course, it has a vested interest in getting as much cheap labor as possible into the United States. So there are different factions in the Republican Party. But yeah, you mentioned flying illegals into the country. The number we heard that the Biden administration has flown into the interior of our nation is 320,000. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable. I don't know how much tax money was used to facilitate that. But again, these people are importing a foreign army. It's just disgusting what's going on. And understand also, we're talking about congressional apportionment. You also have a certain number of these people voting in elections, even though they're not citizens. And I know Joe Biden and his cohorts, his colleagues will dispute that. But I have a study in my article, which came out of Old Dominion University in 2014. These two political science professors, Karen, Jesse Richman and David Ernest, they found that more than 14% of non-citizens voted or were registered to vote in 2008 and 2010, and some of them actually did so. And I believe they were the researchers who said this is enough to actually swing elections in very, very close states, closely contested elections.
And as if that weren't – I just found the program, the CHNV, standing for Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela – a program that allows 30,000 people each month from these countries to fly into the U.S., be granted 2 years of humanitarian parole. And when you said an army, we should remember that many of these people are criminals with criminal backgrounds, and they're being flown into this country because, as you pointed out, these people don't care about American citizens, even no matter what color, race, or creed they are. Huge issue. Thank you for the work you do. Selwyn Duke, how do people find you, follow you?
Oh, at my website, selwynduke.com, or at The New American, thenewamerican.com, and in many other places on the internet. Thank you, Karen.
Selwyn
Duke. God bless you and your audience.
Thank you, Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N Duke. Find him on the internet. We're going to wrap up the show when we get back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The Citizens Award program is one that we started here 25 years ago to honor the businesses that are taking the lead in solving the world's biggest challenges. And what we find they're really doing is using talent, their resources, really digging deep into the expertise they have as a company and putting that work for their communities. This year, we got to honor 11 organizations all over the country who are really making a difference in their communities. We cast a wide net. We've got 9 categories. We've got large business, small business, medium-sized business, civic organizations. And the breadth of what they're doing is just astonishing and inspiring. You've got companies like Medtronic, whose employees volunteered 190,000 hours in their communities last year. Please go to uschamberfoundation.org. You can take an idea and make it right for the place that you live and the people that you serve.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowski.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask, the number 4, echo.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. So happy to be with you. I'm Karen Cataline, and thanks to everybody at the Main Street Radio Network for inviting me as part of the team. It's always a pleasure. Well, we got a story to wrap up this hour that's amusing in that it's probably making leftist heads explode, and that is that Florida public schools could make use of chaplains under a bill that's going to Governor DeSantis's desk in Florida. Here to talk about that is an award-winning filmmaker who made the documentary Capital Punishment about January 6th. He's chief strategic officer with his Glory TV, which is currently streaming the rest of the story with Laura Logan. She does great work, a 14-episode documentary TV series about what really happened on January 6th. Chris Burgard is with us right now. Thank you, Chris, for joining us.
It is so cool to be with you. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, I love conservative filmmakers because we could use about, 100 times more of them than we got because of the imbalance, right?
I tell you what, I didn't know I was a conservative filmmaker until I made that movie Border back in 2005, and people I knew in Hollywood for 20 years just attacked me like crazy. And that was my rude awakening to how everything really works.
Isn't that amazing that people think they can actually control what you think and control what people hear? And that is one of the most operative issues going on today. Being punished for thinking differently. You know, the left used to actually be against that, but they're not anymore.
You have to understand that knowledge is power. And right now, this country is engaged in the greatest information war the planet's ever seen. So that's how things are working right now.
Because we have such short segments, I want to do what people do when we're rushed at the end. And that is, what's the movie you're working on right now, and where can people see your work? So we'll take the time it deserves.
Thank you so much. So the movie that we're going to be coming out is called The War on Truth, and it is the follow-up movie to Capital Punishment. Everything they told you about January 6th was a lie. I've been blessed in my career to make movies about the truth. God put me on the border back in 2005. And when that movie came out, played for both houses of Congress, and Hollywood just went, I didn't work for 3 years. But that led me to working with people in different parts of the, because I've been working with law enforcement, people on the border, but I worked with some intelligence people and some military people because of what we uncovered on the border. And I was introduced to different teams, shows why things were happening. And that led to me being in Honduras when they tried to take over the government then. And then I was in January 6th with my family and my partner, Nick Searcy. And when January 6th started going down, I was like, this is Honduras all over again. This is the same playbook. This is a staged operation. And then as you see in you see in Capital Punishment, you can watch Capital Punishment for free at hisglory.tv. And what you're going to see in War and Truth is not only how January 6th was years in the making, but how January 6th was used to go after basically people who believe in God and country. And that's why, you know, when you all called and said, let's talk about what they're doing in Florida with putting the chaplains in the schools. Oh, my gosh, that couldn't come at a better time, because people have forgotten that this country was started by people from the pulpits who believed that resistance to tyranny was obedience to God. And as John Adams said when he wrote the Constitution, he said it's made for a religious and moral people.
A moral people.
Right, yes. The governance of any other. So when you have people that just 2 weeks ago, when you have a senior person, a major news outlet on national TV, say that Christian nationalists are people that believe that their rights come from God, not the government, that is brainwashing. That is how far they've taken the entire country and turned it upside down, because our rights do come from God, and that's why they've weaponized federal law enforcement against us. Because if you believe that your rights from God and they're emboldened in the Constitution and articulated for everyone to see and to follow, that makes you very difficult to control. And as you've seen with the January 6ers, when you stand up to this administration, you end up in jail. And that's what's going on right now. So by putting chaplains back to the school, Ron DeSantis, remember, and I know we're running out of time, but remember, separation of church and state.
No, we have three or four minutes left. Go for it.
So remember, separation of church and state. This comes down to an information war. And think military. Think propaganda. Most Americans believe that's in the Declaration of Independence. No, it's not. Well, then it's in the Constitution. No. Well, it must be in the Bill of Rights. No, it's not. It's not in any government documents. The separation of church and state came from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to a Baptist congregation that was worried that the Methodists and the local government were going to force the Methodist form of religion over the Baptists on the local community. It was from that letter, and Thomas Jefferson agreed to represent them, and he won. It is never about taking God out of government, because if you know our founding fathers, if you know our history, our entire form of government was based around the fact that God is the one that started this country. And as you remember, this is just history that they don't teach kids anymore. They were stuck at the Constitutional Convention. They were stuck after we won the Revolutionary War, and they were all about to break apart and all go home. And it was Benjamin Franklin said, you know, when we took on the greatest superpower in the world and we didn't, you know, we were getting our butts kicked, we prayed to God every day and he stood by us. And because God was with us, we won and we gained our freedom. We are now part of his liberty. Have we forgotten our special friend at a time such as this? So they broke down in prayer. They broke for 3 days of prayer and fasting. And when they came back, they signed the greatest document the world has ever seen, our Constitution. And we've forgotten that history. So by DeSantis putting chaplains back in schools, he's just getting us back to our roots. He's just putting it back in mainstream culture. So hopefully this will be the first of many good things to come.
Well, Chris Burghardt, first of all, I love Nick Searcy's. I've interviewed him. He's wonderful. And what a combination both of you are. If you reverse it, since I'm left-handed, you can reverse this and say that if you wanted to destroy a free country, if you wanted to destroy individual freedom, liberty, and personal responsibility and the Constitution, what you would do would be to corrupt people's relationship with God, to put down their ability to elevate morals, elevate the lack of morals, and elevate criminality. And that seems to be, and now I'm going on, we have to go.
That's right.
But
well,
you,
that's what Yuri Bezmenov told us they were going to do. And if you know Yuri Bezmenov,
yes,
you know the plan.
Yeah. Chris Burghardt, how do people find you real fast?
Just come to hisglory.me, check out our programming, or go to hisglory.tv, watch Capital Punishment, and you're going to see War and Truth coming this spring.
Chris Burghardt, thank you so much. We got to go. That's the end of the show. Keep speaking up and standing up.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.